We're all as unique and beautiful as a snowflake, each created wonderfully in the image of God. And yet, sometimes folks capture our attention with their uniqueness, with their eccentricities, like my friend Jim back in college. Now, I went to school in rainy Oregon, and he lived on the other side of the cinder block wall in my dorm room. And part of what made him such an interesting character is, despite the continual rain, he wore the same thing every day, like a uniform, black sweat shorts and a t-shirt, never a coat, no matter how cold or wet, always emblazoned with the Portland Trailblazers basketball team logo on them. So he was a big fan of that professional sports team. Now, Jim was beginning to have his faith flourish and asked me to join him in this journey that he was taking, nurturing his faith. And I recall the day that he came to me and had a really serious conversation about prayer and unheard prayer. He was wondering why his basketball team wasn't winning. So I told him, you know, I'm not so sure God cares about basketball teams, but I have an answer, and I'll share my answer with you in a little bit. But first, I would like us to consider a little bit more about today's topic of unheard prayers and give you a riddle that I would challenge you to consider as we begin our talk today. There's a quote from a book that's almost poetic, that's captured my attention. And I'd like you to consider who she is in this quote. When she cries, it is quiet, tearless, almost completely imperceptible. One more unheard prayer. Do you ever wonder where your unanswered prayers go? You ever wonder if maybe there's a big place in heaven like the U.S. Postal Service has where all of the lost mail goes? You ever wonder if maybe prayers go the same place as socks once they enter the dryer? Or maybe God has this big spam folder and doesn't even know that you've sent a prayer up. Well, I don't know if that's the case, but these are the questions that we'll be turning to today. Where is God when life seems to get messy and we're praying and we don't seem to be getting the answers we're looking for? Is God listening? What the heck am I supposed to do when God doesn't seem to be answering the prayers the way that I think that they ought to be answered? And by golly, where is God when my team's not winning? But before we turn to these questions, let us turn to God in prayer, all right? Join me. Most holy and loving God, we thank you for joining us here this morning and invite your Spirit to speak to each and every one of us the message you would have each of us hear that is particularly crafted for our situation. And may we join our prayers with yours, making your prayers our own. In the name of the Christ, alleluia and amen. So, who here has ever prayed one of those prayers where you say, God, if you do this for me, I will do something else for you in exchange? Come on, admit it. Raise your hand. I have done it. I admit it. I don't know why we think somehow God has this quid pro quo relationship with us. If I do something for God, then God will do something for me in return. Fact of the matter is, God wants the best for each and every one of us, no matter what, before we even begin to pray. So I began to wonder why we ask these type of things, why we enter into prayer with God. But then I realized that there's really a bigger question. The bigger question is, where is God when I'm asking these prayers and they seem unanswered? Is God hearing me, or is God gone on vacation? Sort of reminds me of a time when I was experiencing despair in my own life. It wasn't long after my mother had rejected me and expelled me from her life completely. that life began to seem to tumble out of control. I was in a really dark space, and I realized I needed to pull myself up from a tailspin. So I called a close friend who I knew would be there for me, even when my mom wouldn't be. And unfortunately, I realized later she had been flying cross-country, so couldn't answer the phone. So I dialed another person and another person. And out of desperation, after not reaching anyone, finally I called someone I hardly knew who I'd just met, a mere acquaintance, looking for someone to be of support. They too didn't answer. So out of complete desperation, I dialed the phone to my mom, and through the tears, before I was even able to get out from my throat that which was happening for me, what I heard on the other end of the line was a cold voice that simply said, "Jeremy, I can't help you." Church, do you know that sometimes there's those among us that feel like when we're crying out to God, when we are praying to God, that God responds with, "I can't help you"? Now, whether that's your reality or not, I want to assure each and every one of you that there is proof that that's not how God responds to us. God does not respond to us that, "I don't care. I do not care what's happening for you. I can't help you." God responds with love and welcoming. And this is my proof. Who here has ever heard God say, "I don't care about you. I don't care about your prayers"? Anyone? Hands? Proof. We haven't heard that because that's not who God is. God transcends our images of mothers and fathers. God is so much more than that. And yet, we go through times in life where it seems like God may not be listening. Sometimes we might even identify with that quote I shared earlier. When she cries, it is quiet, tearless, almost completely imperceptible. One more unheard prayer. The scripture from today was written for a church that was considered lukewarm. And while I would like to consider us much more than lukewarm, much warmer and friendlier and excited about our faith, I still believe that there's a message in this for us today. The message was, "I stand at the door and knock." And today, we have Christ standing at the door of our hearts, knocking. And Christ has been standing and knocking at the doors of our hearts throughout our entire life, whether or not we've been hearing that knocking. Jesus is there, knocking at your door. The question is, are we hearing it? Are we paying attention? Do we understand what it means? Sort of like a few years ago, actually a few years before all of that happened with Mom, I was with the love of my life, Marco. He'd come to be with me from Mexico. This was before marriage equality. And so he would have to come on a 6-month tourist visa and cross the border and come back. We chose to not have him work. We wanted to have everything way above board. And by the point of the climax in the story, we'd been together for a few years. We were at the Yuma, Arizona airport, and he decided to try to fly despite his papers not quite being in order. When he was stopped by an immigration officer, he asked, "Am I going to prison?" Well, I knew well what was about to happen. And in fact, I had filled him in on the possibilities of what could happen. And yet he was a rather stubborn guy. And he liked to do things his way and didn't really care that his papers weren't in order. I don't know about you, but about 90% of the time when my prayers seem unanswered, I think I'm probably going about my own thing and not really helping God out in the answering of these prayers. I sometimes create more problems. Regardless of the case, we stood there on the sidewalk of this tiny Yuma, Arizona airport, before up pulled this big white truck. It's a truck that might be familiar to each of you in your own imagination. It's a truck that, for me, is quite reminiscent of one that we would be used to seeing letters on the side of, really official-looking letters. They would say something like Humane Society or Animal Control. It had hatches on the side, these small little hatches, and big doors in the back. Yes, it looked to me like a dog catcher truck. That's what was seared in my mind. And before we knew it, the officer took my love and put him in the back of this truck with all of the fanfare of a dog catcher putting an unlicensed dog in the back of a dog catcher's truck. And then the door slammed and there was nothing but cries and tears through those slam doors. And as the truck began to move, I began to knock. I love you. I'm here. I'm not abandoning you, as I ran after that truck. Now, I don't know Morse code, and I don't know if Marco understood that that's what I was saying to him. But that's what I was saying. That's what was on my heart. And I wonder if we understand the knocking that God might have at our door, the knocking of Jesus on our door, if we were to hear it. Would we know what it means? And is it possible that maybe Jesus is like a hound of heaven chasing after the dog catcher truck, knocking, "I love you. I'm here. I'm not abandoning you." Is it possible that Jesus, who we've been taught all of our lives has all of this power, might be as powerless as a man chasing after a dog catcher truck? Well, this sermon isn't about whether or not God is all powerful. The point is that Jesus stands at the door and knocks. Amen? Jesus is knocking at your door. I stand at the door and knock. So, some of you may be wondering, what happened to Marco? What happened to me? And for those of you who are glass half empty sort of folks, might imagine that I stand here a broken, shattered man, a shell of the person I once was. You might imagine that we went to the ends of the earth to be together, but because of marriage inequality, we fought the law and the law won. And I have never recovered. But if you are a glass half full sort of person, you could imagine that I've survived, that I was burnt, that I died, but I've been resurrected from the ashes. If you're a glass half full sort of person, you might imagine that despite my prayers that felt unheard, that it is God who carried me through, and I am here. If you're a glass half full sort of person, you might recognize that the beautiful meadow that is my life, full of beautiful flowers, was fertilized by the crap of life. You might recognize that the beauty that is in my life is like the daisies that are pushed up through cow manure. And I don't know whether you are a glass half empty or a glass half full sort of person, but I can tell you what I told my friend Jim back in college. And this is what it was. "Jim, I don't know if God cares about basketball games or not, but this is what I know. God loves you. And God's love for you is greater than any love you could ever have for a basketball team. And God is on your team. The question is, whose team are you on?" Amen? Amen. Now, before wrapping up today, I'd like to ask you if you've thought about the riddle I gave you earlier today. Who is she in that quote? When she cries, it is quiet, tearless, almost completely imperceptible. One more unheard prayer. Well, if you're like me and many people, despite not wanting to admit it, you might realize that too often you're more glass half empty sort of person. And you imagine yourself as the she whose prayers are going unheard, who cries without a God that listens. You might imagine that she's some other sad person. But if you're a glass half full sort of person, you might recognize that she in the poem is actually the living Christ, Jesus, the messenger of God's good news, who's come to bring God's message of love. You might recognize that she is not us at all, but she whose prayers seem unanswered is from God. When the living Jesus cries, it is quiet, tearless, almost completely imperceptible. One more unheard prayer, knocking. Is it possible that we are actually meant to answer God's prayers? Is it possible that we are intended to be answering the Holy Spirit's prayers for our life? Is it possible that we ought to be listening for that still small voice of God and asking what Jesus, the Christ, would have us praying for? And perhaps we aren't trapped in a cage at all. Perhaps that cage isn't for us. Perhaps that cage has been a cage where God was locked away by unimaginative unbelief. Regardless, God is knocking on the other side of the door, not the outside, but the inside. The line in the book that I shared is about God waiting for us to answer her prayers. When she cries, it is quiet, tearless, almost completely imperceptible. One more unheard prayer. So the next time you pray in Jesus' name, begin with asking, Jesus, what would you have me pray? Then listen. Ask, your will be done, not my will. Jesus knocks at the door of our hearts. Listen to the divine one knocking. Open the door to your prayer room and let God out of the cage. Stop blaming God for not answering your prayers and start answering God's prayers for your life. Amen? And by golly, when you have a glass that's half full, drink it. It's full of God's life essence for you. And once you've drank that, allow God to fill it up again with more prayers. Amen? Most holy God, so thankful for this church, my family beyond this family. God, may we continue to hear your voice speaking to us and make your prayers our prayers, because we know that your prayers for us are for the very best and most beautiful things in our lives. And we pray in the name of Jesus the Christ. Hallelujah and amen.